T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Happy to welcome my Nesson colleague, Mark James, into the studio. Hello, Mark.
Great to be here with you guys. You know what's one of the things that you, someone told me once about Mike Francesa, you always want to transcend technique. It must be nice to have a retirement about 4.5 months ago, and then have the company bring you back in the spot that you were at for the last 3 decades, probably pay you
much more.
A nice little penny,
I'd imagine.
You know, I just strive to be like Mike Francesa, guys.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Good. He's the most successful man ever in the history of the business.
Bingo.
He is.
Yeah, he's on Mount Rushmore.
Dale, you're giving me a look. You don't think he is?
I think Dog is too.
Dog is too, for sure.
Yeah.
I like both those guys.
Anybody else you throw on the Mount Rushmore, Dale?
Mount Rushmore talk right
Glenn
out of the gate here.
Ordway.
Big O.
Yeah. How about nationally? Jim Rome?
Oh, my God.
Have a take. Don't suck.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe Rome, I guess.
You know? But that's nice for Mike. And that's great for Entercom. So kudos to Entercom.
Our sister station. Maybe we can do some simulcast with Mike.
Oh, I bet he'd love to
do that.
He doesn't even know we exist.
No. Big Red Sox-Yankee series, though. We have Mike on. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think Michael Kay's thinking today after he won one book?
He's not thrilled. he's not thrilled about all this. No.
See ya!
Not at all.
And like Rekha, his partner, going
like, no!
Well,
we got rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Now he's back.
I'm number one.
Yeah.
I'm number one.
So in the open there, you heard me yesterday talk about it's been one big bucket of suck here.
Dale's
lately.
Been very negative.
So let me just give you the rundown, okay?
Yeah, please.
This is in order. Celtics lose game 3. Bruins lose game 5. Red Sox get no hit. Celtics lose game 4. Red Sox lose in the 8th inning. Bruins lose game 6. That's the streak we're on here lately.
You missed one thing, though. There's one thing you missed.
Boston Uprising.
Oh,
they
Gronk.
Haven't lost in forever.
No, Gronk.
Gronk. Yeah, Gronk's the worst one. Gronk's the worst one.
The BMX Super Motocross press conference right next to the Patriots press room. Are you kidding me? That, to me, is the most... Of all those things that happened, Dale, the Gronk thing stands out the most for me.
It was the worst. It was the only one that was not on the field, but you just could feel that it's gonna show its head again later on, right? Like, it's gonna come back to haunt you, or maybe this is what leads him to being traded,
right?
Or I don't know. Like, you're gonna look back on that moment and say, that was so bizarre. What was he doing? Because I think he lost the fans. Now, I know they're not the ones that decide whether he's traded or not, but they were always in his corner. We love Gronk. Gronk can do whatever he wants. If he wants to hold out, don't care. I just want to see him catch touchdown passes. But the way he handled himself, I think a lot of people are starting to turn on him.
That was the biggest FU Belichick press conference I've ever seen in my life. That was right at Belichick.
Well, it's right up there with he lies to feed his family.
Yeah.
Remember Lawyer Malloy?
There was that. Or Ty Law.
Ty Law.
Yeah,
he lies
Ty Law.
To feed his family.
Yeah,
there was
right.
that one. Now, look, there have been some bad ones. I think that I said this yesterday. If we find out between now and Thursday night in the draft that the Patriots have traded Gronk.
Not surprised.
I think it's happening.
And fans would not turn on Belichick at this point.
Yep.
No,
there,
they wouldn't.
There are a number of fans who have said, you know what, I've had it.
Because think about it, if all of this stuff was behind the scenes, so say Belichick was dealing with this and Casario, and they were dealing with Drew Rosenhaus and Rob Gronkowski, and they were kind of hitting their head against the wall, but you didn't get the weird post-game press conference talking about retirement, you didn't get all the tweets about a band's a maker dance, and then you certainly didn't get this monster energy vroom vroom press conference, fans would have lost their mind. They would have. Gronk would have been, again, Brady v. Belichick, that's splitting everybody up. Belichick versus Gronk would have been more of a split down the middle of the fan base if it wasn't for all this stuff. Now people are saying, what are you doing?
Yeah, and let's just kind of just go through a revisionist history here that the Patriots have won 4 Super Bowls without Rob Gronkowski. He was not there for 2016. He got hurt the second week on a Sunday night game against Cam Chancellor and the Seattle Seahawks. He was not part of the run. He was not on the field when the Patriots were down 28-3.
Greatest comeback ever, not there.
Not there. So they've won 4 Super Bowls without him. And with him, they're 1-2. He was on the field for the second Giants Super Bowl. He's on the field for this one. one. And I'm not saying, listen, he's the most dominating.
He was hurt in the one game, but I got
he was a decoy.
Yeah,
but
right.
He's the most dominating weapon in the history of the NFL, but the Patriots can win. There's only one irreplaceable person in the history of his franchise. It's TB12. That's
right.
It.
But how is he going to feel if they get rid of Gronk? Brady has always, he has dealt with this in the past. He has
lost. How do you feel when they got rid of Logan Mankins, Rich?
I was upset. But then we saw what the result was.
I bet Brady was too.
I was really upset. I was upset with Deion Branch and David Givens and Wes Welker and all those. And now the Patriots have won. They've moved on from those guys and they won.
Sure.
And Brady, maybe behind the scenes, you know, to himself or to Giselle or whoever, was irate potentially. But publicly, he always said the right things and was always there. I wonder, would Gronk push him over the edge?
I've got a feeling that Gronk and Brady talk. That they,
they do. We saw it in Tom versus
Tom. They've been communicating.
Oh, yeah.
I think Brady knew before Gronk did this stuff what he was going to do.
Oh, absolutely.
And my guess is he didn't try to talk him out of it.
So that's the thing. And I think Chris Filani said this yesterday. If Gronk does something like this again, like anywhere near this again, you know Brady has signed off on it. Because maybe he didn't talk to him before the weekend stuff, and then maybe afterwards he's like, what are you doing? Like, why don't you calm it down a little bit? So they would have talked after for sure. So if he does it again, then you know Brady has zero problem with it.
Well, I think now, as you see, and I'm sure, you know, the unsilent majority of Patriots Nation, that they are sick and tired. I am sick and tired of Rob Gronkowski. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm out.
Dale hated the tweet stuff. And
the Instagram stuff.
I didn't mind that.
It was like,
I didn't care.
It's driving me nuts. We're
the press
trying to decipher,
yeah.
Da Vinci code.
That was the one that just broke
that
it. The straw that broke the camel's
yeah.
back. And at that point,
your fans are really curious about your future. Oh, they're going to see a freak league.
They're going to see a freak league.
The vroom vroom thing, which
he's like mocking the training program.
Yeah, he's like, and when he's talking about, dirt bike stuff and this, that, and the other, and it's like, you know as well as anybody else, when Belichick thinks about you being gone, eventually it happens. Wes Welker, Richard Seymour, Mike Vrabel, Vince Wilfork, the list goes on and on.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, and we've brought this up in the past, but in the 18 years that Bill Belichick has been here, the best player he has coached is without question, and it's not up for debate. The second best player he's ever coached, maybe Gronk.
Who's before him?
Well, Randy Moss was really talented,
Randy Moss
was incredible,
but wasn't
here for that.
But it was like,
but I'm talking about Patriot.
That's what I'm saying.
But Randy was great. He had that one season.
He had the unbelievable year.
The totality. I mean, Gronk is
the other guys, and then you look at him, you're like Richard Seymour. All right, we'll trade you for a future first-round pick.
Yeah.
So trade you before the season starts.
Right.
We're going to see you later. And, you know, Logan Mankins, I know he's a guard, so it's not as exciting, but very good guard. At one time, the best guard in the league. Trade him away. Go all the way back to Lawyer Malloy, who at the time was one of the best safeties, I thought anyway, in the league. Gone. Ty Law, we don't need to bring you back. Like, all these guys.
All of them.
Borderline Hall of Famers can move on from. So Gronk, he might be the best of that group, but he's still in that group.
He is in that group, but I would say he's the second best Patriot in the Belichick-Brady era, maybe ever. I mean, I don't know anybody that has, you know, Randy Moss, like you said, I don't really consider Randy Moss, though, a true Patriot. You know what I mean? Like, he was a Viking.
Kind of a pit stop here.
Yeah, he was a Viking. He was great when he was here.
It burned real hot. It was a record-breaking year. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you're right. He played in a Super Bowl, but the true Patriots have like multiple rings. Like the best Patriots, not only have they won a Super Bowl, but they probably have a couple of them.
They absolutely do. And for me, I look at Rob Gronkowski, and he's acted like a little bitch this whole entire offseason. And then when I look at him, it's got to the point where it's like, it's not funny anymore. We're not laughing. We're not even, before we were laughing with you, then we're laughing at you. Now you're being mocked. And now, listen, I would not be the slightly surprised if Belichick trades him prior to the end of the seventh round of the draft. I anticipate Rob Gronkowski
this week could be the last week of Gronkowski. I agree with you. I agree with you. It could definitely happen. And, you know, a year ago, you never would have thought that would be the case. But now we've started to see this kind of trickling out in the relationship stuff and everything that's gone on there. And it's not great. Now, somebody had reported before that Gronk really wants to play with Brady. And Brady's going to be here. This is where he is. Even if he's not seeing eye to eye with Belichick, this is where he's going to be. But I think Gronk, something has clicked or something has changed in him that, you know what, I can play somewhere else. Somebody's going to pay me a ton of money and I can go have a lot of fun. I'm going to go do it somewhere else. And that's what it seems like is what's going
to
happen.
And this all goes back to Brady. I mean, you saw the first episode of Tom versus Time when he's like, listen, you better be prepared to sacrifice your life because I will. I am. And then the last episode, he's like, why am I doing this? What are we doing this
for? I
got
to look for it.
Yeah.
I got to find it.
If you lose your conviction, you should be doing something else. And then you start asking. And now his agent comes out and says, no, Tom's going to play in 2018, but he wants the contract. See, Brady got what he wanted. He wanted Jimmy Garoppolo gone. He got Jimmy Garoppolo gone. And now it's like he's sort of – think about it. Even if
And where did you make up this narrative?
What narrative?
What you just said.
Well, because the whole thing with Robert Kraft.
And you know what?
No, like the whole thing about like he...
Mark, you're making it up.
No, alleged reports... Reports.
Exactly. Alleged reports.
Just say reports. It sounds better. Don't say alleged. Say reports.
He didn't like the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo was here. And then...
I've read the same stuff you've read.
Right.
And you've taken it as gospel.
Well, why would they trade Jimmy Garoppolo, Dale, for a freaking second-round pick when they got a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks?
Well, in my opinion, it was because they weren't going to franchise the guy.
But why
they
not, couldn't, though?
Do the math, Mark. No, but please, do the math.
But they just increased the salary, capped $10
million. Yeah, I understand that. All these guys that they've signed in this offseason, they couldn't have signed any of them.
Yeah, but they could. Okay, fine. You don't get the third string
none
left tackle.
Well,
you don't
no,
get
no, you don't no. get... none of them. Plus, you'd have to get rid of more than that.
Right, but you'd still field a team. They'd find
they
a way to do it.
They were never going to franchise a backup quarterback for $25 million.
Yeah, but bottom line
it wasn't going to happen.
Bottom line, do you think Brady was happy when Garoppolo got traded?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so
absolutely.
I have no idea.
If you had a guess, take a stab.
But everybody's making this stuff up and stating it as fact as you just did.
No, what do you think? You stated it as fact.
Listen, Tom Brady wanted Rob Gronkowski traded. Who said?
You mean Garoppolo?
No, he doesn't want Rob Gronkowski traded.
But you just said it like it was a fact.
Well, listen, he was pissed when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014, was he not?
No.
There was reports out there.
Oh, reports out what?
There are alleged reports.
Alleged reports out there that he did.
But and what did he do to indicate this, that he was pissed off that they drafted him?
Let me ask you this. Would Tom Brady have said what he said at the end of Tom versus Time, the final episode, about if you don't want to, why are we doing this? If you lose your conviction, then maybe we should do something else. Would he have said that in the first episode when Jimmy G was still here? Would he have said that? No, because then Bill Belichick would be like, okay, fine. We've got our next guy. They're never going to trade Tom Brady. Dale, they're not going to. But I don't know why they couldn't have franchised Jimmy G for one more year.
It's stupid.
No,
that's why.
They increased the salary cap $10 million.
Yeah, I know how much they increased the salary cap by. Look at the numbers. Not just what you're paying this guy, what you now can't sign anybody else for.
Yeah, but they could have traded him.
It's dumb.
They could have traded him.
Well, they lost Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler. I mean, Danny Amendola.
But they couldn't trade him until they got rid of all the salary cap money first.
Yeah, but that's fine. You cut Dwayne Allen. He stinks.
Everybody makes it sound like you cut Dwayne Allen, you got the money.
Oh,
that's not
cut a bunch of guys. Cut a bunch of them. They can definitely do it. They could do it. There was Mark Daniels wrote the article, or somebody did. Ben Volen, maybe. They outlined what you would have to do. Like, all right, here you go. Here's the players you have to cut. You have to wait on signing some of these guys. And some of the guys they signed.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah. Like, I don't think that would have been the
really?
End of the world.
So the Patriots are going to be that much better with him on the field?
Yeah. What I said was they're better off with Cordarrelle Patterson than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Was that the guy that pushed you over the top?
See, everybody thinks this is a product of Felger's cap is crap BS. Okay, it's not crap.
Bill Belichick has said that you can manipulate the cap. He has said that.
You can't manipulate
it that much. So cap is crap is sort
of
a fun little saying, but yes, you can.
So you're going to pay your backup quarterback $10 million more a year than your starting quarterback.
First of all, no, I wouldn't have done that. We've done this show 100 times.
That's what Mark just said they were going to do.
No, you can franchise him to keep him and then trade him.
Don I know Yee. Who the agent is.
So Don Yee. So Don Yee could have done something. I'm not saying they could have franchised him. They could have given him a lot more money.
I don't think they both
could
have been on the
signing
team.
He was not signing here. That wasn't happening, Mark. It wasn't.
Then why would...
only way you had him was for one more year was to franchise him. You're going to pay him $10 million more than the starter, the Hall of Fame quarterback, and you got to blow up your team salary cap-wise to do it.
Well, here's the good news, though. The agent represents both clients, so they could have worked that out some way.
No, what are you talking about? They're not going to do that.
I don't know.
They're not going to do that.
Tom Brady has never been one of the... Like I don't even know. I talked about this weekend. Has he ever been one of the top three highest-paid quarterbacks in his career? Ever?
Never.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
So, like, what's the...
But he also didn't have his
money.
Backup making $10 million
he's
more
always,
than him.
He's always
so,
made
so
the most
okay when here. Sam Bradford was the number one overall pick in 2010 and got a $50 million bonus?
That's not the same as your backup making $10 million more than you, Mark.
Yeah. Well, in fact, now his backup's making more than him in San Francisco.
Well, and there are reports now that he's upset about that. That even the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo.
It was out there.
Was it Schefter? We probably have it.
So, Dale, is that not fact?
Don Yee has said that. Don Yee has said, hey, we've talked about a contract extension with Brady, and he knows what Jimmy Garoppolo is making with the Niners. So I'm sure he wants to make more money. I don't think they're both going to be on the same team this year. I didn't think that was going to happen, but I think there's another way to go about it.
This could have continued, and it's not.
No, it couldn't have. You are in fairy tale land.
I'm saying that it could have. We could have kept the fran. It could have been like a like the whole Fast and the Furious thing, and instead now we got maybe one, two more years with Brady, three maybe.
We'll talk with Barry Peterson. We'll get to your calls as well, Dale and Keith, with Mark James, Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, we've been talking about it all along. We're playing a really good team in Boston. The series is fun. It's high end. There's no room. They got high end players. But we think we're going to win. And so we thought that all along. We started poorly and we've crawled our way back. And now you have an opportunity of a lifetime. And that's what we talked about tonight. This is fun. This is where you want to be. Going to the third period, this is fun. This is where you want to be. You want to be in these moments in your life.
Mike Babcock, Toronto Maple Leafs coach, after last night's Game 6 win, forcing a Game 7 tomorrow night at the Garden. Joining us on the line right now is my Nesson colleague and Boston Bruins great Barry Peterson. Hello, Barry.
Hello, partner. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Should I be afraid of Game 7 tomorrow night?
I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit more comfortable going into Game 7 than I did going into Game 6. I just didn't know in Game 6 how Tuukka was going to rebound. I thought he did. He gave his team a chance to win. I wasn't confident on how Patrice was going to feel. I really thought he played very well. He controlled the face-off circle and created some opportunities. And the fourth line, if we can get a little bit more consistency like the fourth line, I feel good. However, we've also got a giant that's wakening in Toronto.
Barry, what have you seen from Charlie McAvoy so far? Is there any chance he's still, you know, not 100%?
He could be. We don't know. As we talked about last night with Dale on the show, it's you just don't know. The only thing I can go by is what my eye tells me. My eye told me in game one and two, he was a lot more aggressive with the puck by skating the puck up through the neutral zone, being more of a scoring threat, pinching more aggressively along the boards. Now, as we were showing last night, he gets that puck. He has a tendency now, instead of rushing and moving his feet and making Toronto come to him and close the gap, he's kind of like he was sitting back trying to make a pass. Toronto would just lay a trap for him, and they would counterattack very quickly. So I think for the Bruins to be successful, they're going to have to do what they did all year long, which was have pressure from the back end. You're going to have the Krugs and the McAvoys have to push the pace, and the Bruins have to get more aggressive in Game 7, especially considering the way they started Game 5.
Barry, the Bruins' losses in Games 3, 5, and 6, the one line of Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, 0 goals, 0 points, and a minus 16 rating. What happened?
Well, I think the minus 16 and the goals against is a bigger concern for me during the playoffs. I mean, your offense is going to come and go, and they're going to have different matchups and different situations and power play opportunities and so forth are going to come. But the strength of this Bruins hockey club all year long has been their defense, even though they've been able to push the pace offensively and be right up there in offense throughout the season. The backbone of this team with so many injuries was their team defense. And it wasn't only good goaltending, it was also 1-6 solid D. But more importantly, their forwards were very, very responsible and had the trust of the coaching staff. And I really think that's what they're going to have to get back to. And I think I look at that number one line. If they're shut down offensively, which is going to happen to you now and then, you're going to need them to play a lot more solidly defensively. And I think that's what I'm looking for in Game 7.
We're talking to Boston Bruins great Barry Peterson, also my colleague and Nesson Bruins analyst. Brad Marchand was on the station earlier today on with OMF, and he was talking about Frederik Andersen and how, you know, you've got to make the extra pass because of how well he's playing. It almost leads me to believe, based on what I saw that top line doing in the third period, that he's in their head a little bit right now.
Yeah, he is. I would actually have to say I would go the other way. I think part of the problem for that top line is they got a little bit too fancy. You know, in game one and two, when they totally dominated, I can remember us sitting on the fifth floor, Dale. The first couple of shifts that top line had, they went down the ice, they had the pace, they had the energy, They got to the blue line, and they really didn't have any safe play. So what did they do? They dumped it in the corner. They made Toronto's defense turn around, go back and get it. And the important thing there, as soon as they turn around, that means they can't do the stretch pass. When they can't do the stretch pass, that means the Bruins' defense are pushing up, and they're really putting the pressure on them. So I think what the Bruins have to do is take what they give you. Don't force things. I think last night, watching Marchand in particular, he looked a little frustrated at times. Things weren't going his way, and I thought they were trying to get too fancy. I'd like to see him get a little bit more like that fourth line, Dale, which is keep it simple. Put the pressure on the Toronto's defense 1 through 6. I think that's where their weakness is.
Danton Heinen was scratched last night. Tommy Wingle's in at morning skate today or practice today. It was Heinen on the second line and not Wingle's. Should it be Ryan Donato, or do you like the change going back to Heinen?
Well, I think it's a tough decision, actually, for the coach, which is a good decision from an organizational standpoint with the depth. The one thing that would intrigue me with Donato would be the power play. And the Bruins' power play let them down, I thought, last night in that third period. Again, they had the opportunity, especially coming out right at the beginning of that third period with a clean sheet of ice. They had an opportunity to get the Bruins back in it. They didn't, and they had another chance later on in the hockey game, and that let them down. Ryan Donato, to me, when he's been on that power play, has been effective. But if I try and stay consistent with my comments, I think what the coach is looking for is consistency on the defensive side. And even though Heinen is a young player and a rookie, he is a guy that has, as we've talked about, Dale, has been a very mature game. He's a kid that the coach can trust in all situations. He's a penalty killer. He's a guy that you can put out in crucial times of the game. And I think that's kind of what he's looking for. If I was the coach, what I'm looking for improvement from, If my team goes out there and plays hard defensively, that means they're intense, that means they're ready to go, that means they're paying attention to detail, they will win this on the defensive side. So I think that's probably why he'll be leaning toward Heinen.
Barry, Tuukka Rask home elimination playoff game record is 1-5. Which Tuukka is going to show up tomorrow night, the guy we saw in Game 3 or the guy we saw in Game 4?
Well, you hope that it's going to be the latter, right? It's going to be a situation where you're going to see the guy that, like you saw last night, who I thought gave his team a chance. Game 5 was obviously the game you didn't want to see Tuukka Rask. Like he mentioned, he wasn't up to his game. I would also remind Bruins fans that Anderson has been pulled once this series as well and has found his game. So you're hoping that Tuukka has his game and is going to be able to match Anderson and control the rebounds, control the intensity, make those big saves when he has to. From a Bruins standpoint, you hope you're cutting down on the quality scoring opportunities, giving his team a chance. The one thing that concerns me that we talked about last night, from a Bruins fan standpoint, is Anderson. He's found his game. He was struggling, even though he got a little lucky early on in the game's three when he wasn't looking, to me, technically sound. He's back to playing his game, which is, I think, a lot more technically sound, a lot more aggressive. He's playing bigger when he's going down. He's not flopping around. And I think that confidence is also permeating out through the young Toronto team now. They have a lot of belief in him. So this is going to be one heck of a Game 7.
Rick Nash has about, and I'm not even exaggerating, I think 20 shots on goal.
Yep.
in the six games so far, five games so far, or six that he's played. And he's got one goal. I guess the good news is he's getting shots, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything with them.
No, and I think the other side of that, Dale, is I think a lot of that's coming off power play opportunities. He's going to be one of those guys, again, a veteran who's been through the wars and on that second line with probably Krejci and DeBrusk, that he is going to need to elevate his game. He's going to need to come through offensively. You're going to need to see that from Krejci as well. You got to hope the big line is there again. And I think one of the things last night where they did cause a little bit of problems when you saw Nash, you saw Backes going to the net, crashing the net, trying to make Anderson's life difficult with not only screens, but also just to have Anderson feel that pressure around him is what you want, which means the goaltender, he feels like he has to control every single rebound. So you want to get those big bodies, but boy, Rick Nash is one of those guys, from a Bruins perspective, you would love to see wake up offensively.
All right, I'll put you on the spot before we let you go. Does the season end tomorrow night?
No, I would have to say, Dale, I remember when we were previewing this, this series to me was the best series, most evenly matched. We thought it would probably go six or seven games. This could be a conference final. If the Bruins can play like they're capable of, which is solid team defense, put the pressure on Toronto's defense 1 through 6, I like their chances. If they show up like they did in Game 5, I don't.
Always appreciate the time, pal. See you at the rink tomorrow.
look forward to it. Hopefully your daughter dresses you well tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. See you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
See you, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That is former Bruins great Barry Peterson and my Nesson colleague. So he does not think
he feels pretty good about it. He's he feels good about a game seven. He's not terrified like
Jaffe
I am.
Actually feels good about tomorrow night as well.
Jeez.
I don't know how it got to this position. I go back to if things, that's a big if. And I think the Bruins are going to win tomorrow night at home. But if they don't, I'm going to go back to that final regular season game of the year at home against Florida and why they squandered a golden opportunity to get New Jersey, who the Bruins were 3-0, undefeated against. Now Tampa Bay Lightning, they're just chilling
at
Clearwater Beach.
Nice five-game series for them.
Hey, you want to go to Montreal tonight?
Yeah, sure.
We'll just take it easy. You know, that's what the Bruins could have been doing, Dale.
It would have been nice. We will get back to the discussion that we began before Barry Peterson joined us. Mark James' delusional idea that somehow they could just get it done.
He read alleged reports, Dale.
Happened to me. He would take less money. Tom would be okay. I don't think that's the case, but we'll talk about it. 617-779-7937. Sports Radio WEEI.
Stats is doing really great. I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good. I can ride that bike like no other. And my speed is up with it.
Are you still contemplating retirement from football?
Depends how my racing skills go today.
Rob Gronkowski's press conference with the quotation fingers up. His Monster Energy drink press conference down at Gillette Stadium. If you get a chance and you're on Twitter, at Dale E. Arnold, I put up one of those quickie Twitter polls. I said, if the Patriots traded Rob Gronkowski before the draft on Thursday, whose side are you on? Option A is Team Gronk, baby. Pardon the little typo, because I was in a hurry trying to get this
done. Oh, there's a typo there?
Yeah. Okay. And
I don't know how to vote then.
And
option, this is all void.
And option B is Belichick is the man. Those are your two choices, okay?
Yeah.
So far, 490 of you have voted. 67%. Belichick is the man.
Wow. I bet it even goes higher than that.
Yeah.
I bet it caps out 75-80% would be my guess. And what's also, when you listen back to what Gronk did there again from the weekend, it's such a departure from what we normally hear from Gronk, who has the Patriots talking points down as well as anyone. Anytime they stick a microphone in front of his face, and I know in-season, off-seasons are a little bit different, but he's the guy who says, I can't wait to work with my teammates. He's always giving credit to Brady, the offensive line, everybody else out there. You know, he was a constant interview. You remember during the playoffs, the on-field interview with like Tracy Wolfson or whoever, and she would ask him about Daron Harmon. And he's like, oh, he's a great teammate and this, that, and the other. Like, he is so humble and he is so team first throughout the year. And then to see him act like a jackass now, you're saying, what has changed for this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing.
Do you think he knew that the fans would turn on him after that?
No.
No.
He wouldn't have had an idea.
No, because he doesn't want to turn heel. He doesn't want to turn heel. He just did it anyway.
He wants to be a face.
Right. He does want to be a face.
No. You only turn heel when you know it's going to go over like the NWO. We all know that, Dale. When you go Hogan, Hall, and Nash, you know it's going to go over.
This is not that.
This is not. No, I think he's unintentionally. Now you're going to figure. Listen, who knows what Belichick's going to do? There's always that element of surprise, but I'm waiting. It's not even going to be the least bit shocking or surprising if Rob Gronkowski, not if, but when he's traded this weekend, before the end of this weekend, maybe before the end of the seventh round of the draft, that he'll be gone.
And you know what? If it happens, and I don't disagree with you that it could happen, he's going to go, holy crap, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Right. Well, dude,
I'd get a new contract.
How can he not? He's got Rosenhaus, though. Rosenhaus is smart. You can say whatever you want about him, but he's been around a long time. If he sees Gronk, or even just the way they've handled the whole offseason, so forget about the weekend, just leading up to it, Rosenhaus has to sort of warn him, like, hey, by the way, like, if you want to play with fire here, this is the Patriots. They will trade you.
How much of a slap in the face, though, do you think? Because there was reports, Dale, that Belichick didn't like something Gronk did on social media.
Yeah,
like,
about Amendola, right? Amendola. Was it that one?
Like, yeah, you're free.
Yeah,
you're
be happy.
Okay,
you're free.
All right, now just play the game with me here, okay? There were reports that Belichick was unhappy. Do you think Belichick told anybody?
Do you think Belichick told anybody about the Seth Wickersham article? Because that seemed like that came from his camp.
No, it did not. You think Belichick tells anybody anything ever?
Yes. Yeah, of course he does.
I don't think he told
Schefter about the Garoppolo trade stuff? I think it was right from Belichick.
You mean when they wouldn't trade him for four first-round picks?
Yeah. He clearly wasn't on the market. He told us that later on.
I think somebody in the organization. I think Bill Belichick talks to no one.
Oh, I would disagree with that. Oh, no,
he sure as hell doesn't talk to people about Rob Gronkowski's Instagram post.
Sure, he does.
That Seth Wickersham article, Dale, it almost seemed like it came from the office of Bill Belichick. It was very slanted towards Belichick.
It was not pro Brady. That is for sure.
No, and how about not only that, guys, the timing. That thing was released on Friday of Wild Card Weekend when the Patriots had a bye. No one even remembers what happened at Wild Card Weekend except the fact the Chiefs came back on Kansas City, and yet, the Titans came back in Kansas City, but that article was the thing you thought, okay, galvanized, and then once the Patriots lose Super Bowl 52, all these things now in that article seem to have come. Now Seth Wickersham looks sort of like a prophet.
Yeah, I think he's right on a lot of it.
A lot of it.
I mean, there are certain details in there which even he had to correct, and there are certain things he took a stab at. They're like, well, that was unnecessary. Like, you know, Belichick meeting with Goodell, like that probably didn't happen, and it's not really necessary. But a lot of that stuff is in there. Tommy Kern had written something prior to that was sort of similar about, this is a different year. Like, this is different with what's going on.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's not different. Yeah. I just don't think Bill Belichick tells anybody anything. I don't think he leaks stuff. Hey,
well, how do we get any of that?
I didn't like that Gronkowski Instagram.
So, how do you think Schefter was so sure they weren't going to trade?
Oh, I think somebody in the organization absolutely told Schefter, we're not trading him.
They were so sure.
I don't think it was Bill Belichick.
But I bet it was, or maybe it was one degree away from Belichick. I don't think Belichick just doesn't talk to anybody. There's not a person alive that just doesn't say a word to anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
generally speaking, the people Bill Belichick talks to also don't talk to anybody. I mean, it's one of those pretty well-known facts, and you've talked to friends of Belichick who say, I'm not saying anything about what he says. What, are you kidding me?
Want to
not be a friend
scared,
of Belichick
of
anymore?
Well, I don't know. Like, is Mike Lombardi a friend of Belichick? Because he doesn't shut up.
I
think Mike Lombardi's off the list.
Maybe he is off the list.
But Bill Belichick has come out so many times and extolled the virtues of Mike Lombardi.
He does like Mike Lombardi.
He likes him a lot.
I don't know what the status is. Yeah.
By the way, Dale, $177.2 million for this year's cap. You don't think, and I understand what you're saying, how TB12 would have been extremely upset if Jimmy G had stayed here. But Tom Brady grew up in San Francisco. Tom Brady saw Joe Montana lose his job to Steve Young, and the Niners continued to win a Super Bowl 2 years after Montana was gone. So you don't think that Brady, no, this is a business. His father said it's not going to end well.
Tom Brady's salary cap number this year is $22
million. Right.
That's not what he gets, but that's his cap number. Jimmy Garoppolo's cap number would be about $24 million. So you would be committing $46 million of that $177.2 million cap to one position, 25.3% of your salary cap space to two guys. Mark, you got to think for a minute here.
Dale,
don't be led around by your nose by these idiots. You can't do that.
Dale, they lost Amendola, Malcolm Butler, Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, Cameron Fleming, and Brandon Cooks.
They'd have to lose a lot more.
Yeah, but you still need a 53-man roster. Yeah, you still need to fill it out.
You don't get to play. I'm only going to play with 30 guys because I got 25% of my cap tied up in these two.
So that's where I differ. You could have franchised him and traded him. You could not have kept both on the roster. That's just too much. And I know William McGinnis even made the point. He's like, well, if any team is going to do something so unorthodox, it would be the Patriots, but you're just hamstringing yourself too much.
Well, here's the thing. When you traded Jimmy Garoppolo, listen, if you get two or three more good years out of Brady, fine. Let's just say he has two more years for argument's sake, this season and next season.
Yeah.
But then after that.
That's worth it, though, I think, still.
But then after that, unless you are getting the next Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm telling you, there's no Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle LaLetta, please stop it. Even if it's Lamar Jackson.
I like Lamar Jackson.
Because you've seen Kyle LaLetta play how many times?
I've seen film of him.
He's an all-22 guy.
He
broke it down. A lot of CAA football.
I will say this. The one thing about Lamar Jackson is this. If you throw Russell Wilson and Michael Vick in a blender, that's Lamar Jackson. He has Michael Vick's athleticism with Russell Wilson's evasiveness and the ability, except for the bowl game. His last bowl game, the last game he played in college was horrific. And Tom Brady.
But same with Sam Darnold. Like, all these guys had terrible games at the end of the year.
Absolutely. But the Patriots, Dale, are you going to be shocked? I think they draft a quarterback in the first or second round this year.
Oh, I think they probably will.
They have to. You have to.
I think if enough people say that, they won't do it.
Going to be 41 next year.
Yeah,
I think you have to.
You know what Bill was relying on? Tom Brady to regress to the mean, and Brady never regressed to the mean.
Well, when he drafted Garoppolo, I bet he thought Brady had 2 or 3 years left.
Yeah, he thought he'd be done by now.
After that horrific loss on Monday Night Football in 2014 against the Chiefs when
Mike Giardi.
Mike Giardi asked him.
What were we going to say?
No, no. Somebody asked Bill Belichick.
Oh, I thought you were going to describe that person.
I actually, like, I didn't know if it was Giardi, but he
it
said,
was Giardi. Are you going
to make a change at quarterback?
No, he was like, are you going to, because they said we got to assess everything. And he goes, are you going to assess the quarterback position? And he just gave kind of a.
Like, please, please. And I think people thought they
he
would,
did snort.
He did. He snorted at him and stared at him. And then
what,
that was about it.
And then what happened? Like,
good question, though.
4 months later, they won the Super Bowl.
They did. They looked pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. So
Brian Stork, Gronk was healthy, and then next thing you know, they won the whole thing.
I would agree with you guys that when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, it was with the idea that Tom Brady was going to be mortal. You know, he was going to play quarterback at a high level, and then like every other quarterback
only
on
for
the
15
planet,
seasons, not 20,
instead of 20.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's ultimately what happened, I think, with the trade last year. If they had drafted Garoppolo in the first round, they'd have had that fifth year option. Then you could keep him for another year.
So you're saying if they drafted Garoppolo instead of Dominique Easley,
who's a complete
they could
bust.
Have had him for another year.
Then you could have done everything you just described you could do.
Right.
You can't do it with a franchise tag.
And that's why you wonder, now, I don't think Brady's going to play for another 5 years.
No,
but, I don't either.
But how different is that if you draft a quarterback at 31 compared to 43? That extra year, it's crazy.
I don't think he's going to play like 46, but
you give yourself another little bit of wiggle room. Like, you don't have to get Brady out of here in 3 years so you can have this guy to start. You give yourself an extra year to do it. So that's why I think the first round makes a lot of sense, especially if Lamar Jackson or somebody, whoever they really like. I don't know who that is. Maybe it's Mason Rudolph. Maybe it's whoever. But if he's there, rather than trading down like they do so often, it would probably make a ton of sense just to take the guy there.
You just know how tough it is to find a franchise and elite quarterback in this league. And
by
the way,
I'm not convinced Jimmy is.
Exactly. He's played seven.
We have turned him into.
We have. And San Francisco 49ers backed up the Brinks truck to validate their belief in his potential. It just, to me, it seems that the Patriots were sitting on a winning Powerball ticket with Jimmy G. Okay, they failed with Hoyer, Mallett, Castle. You know, Castle went and got the big money.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did this to be a continuum. The problem was Brady got better. He didn't get worse.
No, he's had one of his best seasons last year.
Right, he threw 500 yards in the Super Bowl with three TDs and
he was
no
great.
Picks.
He was great. He was not your problem. And one thing that I even get myself caught up into a little bit is Garoppolo played 5 games with the Niners. So that was post-trade. So also how we're viewing him and him making his
and
money.
And only one team that was legit, Jacksonville.
Yeah, and he beat him. And that was the best defense in the league, and he played really well. So there wasn't as much tape, obviously, on Garoppolo at the time of the trade. I still go back. I know I'm a broken record with this. I still go back to you trade him at the beginning of the year or you trade him at the end of the year. You don't trade him midway through the year. I think that was probably the time that you were going to get the least in return for him.
I agree with your notion that you trade him before the year.
Because you got a cheap year, that team would take them, and you would get a good haul back.
You could have gotten a better haul back. Now, you wouldn't have had any more tape to show people.
No.
He would have played the exact same quarter and a game and a half that he played.
But almost like a free year is enticing enough.
So let me ask both you guys this.
But they didn't like the idea of Jacoby Brissett being the backup,
clearly,
obviously. They traded him.
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, I mean, so they weren't comfortable with what they had.
A year ago, Belichick and Caserio, what do you think, in retrospect, knowing what they did, what they could have gotten for Jimmy G 1 year ago this week?
Well, what do you think they could have gotten? Because you're not going to get silly again.
No. I think they could have got a 1 and a 2.
I don't.
I do. I think so. I think
a one I might give you.
I think if they pitted the Browns and Niners against each other, and honestly, the Jets, that's up for debate. Do you want to trade him in the division or not? I don't really care because I don't know if he's. I don't think he's going to be a top 5 quarterback. But if you're afraid of that, then fine. Pit the Browns and the Redskins, or the Browns and the Niners against each other, and I think maybe you get a first and a third or something like
that. Sure.
Whatever it is, it's more than what you got for the second. And had they known Brady was going to be healthy all season, be the MVP of the league, and throw for 505 in the Super Bowl, they would have traded him before the year.
But
they should have.
Do you take a chance with a 40-year-old quarterback that, A, he's going to be healthy? I mean, who knows? Stuff happens.
I just think
that's why at the trade deadline they said, look, we're not going to franchise
him. So you basically
trade him now or we let him walk at the end of the year.
You only insured yourself for half a season, and that's why I have a question with it. Right, like you didn't buy the insurance for a year. That's like if you went home and you're buying health insurance, you're like, let me get it through June. And if I'm healthy through June, then there's no way I'm going to need it, you know, between then and the end of the year. They should have either done it at the whole time or gotten the most bang for their buck at the beginning of the year.
I just, to me, I compartmentalize this whole thing by like where the Patriots got a number two for Jimmy G, not a great number two, and they got a number one for Brandon Cooks. So it's almost like I'm trying to say, no, they really got the number one for Jimmy G and the two for Brandon Cooks. It makes
yeah,
you
right.
feel
just,
better.
Just take it that
and,
way.
But
yeah.
you look at Tom Brady, he's one step in terms of hierarchy and salaries. He's one step above Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he's below,
oh, the quarterback,
below Cam Newton and Eli Manning. It's ridiculous, but yeah. Brady's never been about, he's always sacrificed, and he's made the ultimates.
But he's also made a lot of money.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he's made a ton of money.
We're not holding, you know, yard sales.
No,
he's done
help
pretty
the Brady
well.
Kids get through school here.
Hey, come over to Brookline, right over.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's made a lot of money in his career.
Oh,
a lot.
Of course he has.
He has never maximized what he could make.
But is he going to have a new contract? Is he going to have a new contract before the season? Because I thought it would have already happened by now.
Yes, he will.
See, I'm not sure of that now.
I don't know.
I thought that, you know, going into the offseason after the Super Bowl, you'll extend him. You'll give him a couple more years. Now with Brady, you know, kind of wishy-washy about how long he wants to play. He has always said he wants to play till 45. Then in Tom versus Time, he did sort of back away from that a little bit.
At the end, he did.
And we actually, this was Schefter's sort of an update, I guess, on the contract stuff with Brady.
Today, Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, went on the record to say that Tom Brady does intend to return for the 2018 season. Again, not a huge surprise in any way, shape, or form, and we don't want to make it out to be something that it's not. But today, Don Yee dispelled any questions that anyone had, and I can tell you some people had some of those questions, that Tom Brady will be back, said it's his intent to return for the 2018 season in a week in which the Patriots very well could be involved in the quarterbacks in this draft. Double ones, double twos, could take a quarterback, expected to take a quarterback somewhere high. Don Yee also said that Tom Brady has thought about his contract, which pays him considerably less than Jimmy Garoppolo, his former understudy, is making in San Francisco. So this is, again, an issue that doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon, but Don Yee says today that Tom Brady is expected and does intend to return for the 2018 season.
So we all knew he was going to be back. I don't think that was a debate. And Schefter said, oh, like some people question. Yeah, because you had the headline that they haven't heard yet. And
but
made it more of a story than
really
it was.
Tom Curran kind of broke this way before Schefter.
Oh, yes. Well, that.
And then when Schefter did it, it's like, oh, okay.
Then it stops everybody.
Here's the thing. I do think he's going to have a new contract. I'll tell you why. It's called leverage. He doesn't have the threat of his successor in the organization.
They draft a guy at 23.
It's not you're not going to come in 2018.
Well, he'd be the successor, though.
No, but the successor,
not
but not for this season.
He might be next year.
No, but next year he could be.
But he could be. But I'm saying that you are screwed in 2018 if Tom Brady holds out. You're done.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady takes this to training camp and says,
you would be. Right.
So he kind of Brady kind of pulled the bait and switch.
But so if he's like, hey, I want Garoppolo's contract.
Yeah.
Are the Patriots going to do it?
They have to. At this juncture, Rich, they have to. They have no choice.
I'm not sure they can.
I don't know. Here's Dale back with the salary cap.
No, just in terms of, I don't know.
The numbers.
And by the way, Dale, I don't think the salary cap is crap.
No, I know. It's a narrative across the street. I don't think they've got the room to put Jimmy Garoppolo's salary
cap
number
in. He's like, give me one more dollar than Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's it.
I want the exact same contract in a dollar.
But can you blame, listen, Michael Jordan, what broke up the Bulls is the fact that Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf would not continually pay Michael Jordan to make him, at the end,
Didn't they pay Kukoc more than Pippen, too?
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
And that's what broke it up. Now, Brady has a chance now to be, he needs to be greedy. He should be greedy. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's coming off his last game.
Yeah, but if he's greedy, he also hurts himself.
That's so?
Because then you don't have as much money
cast?
To put the cast around.
But if they trade
he's
Gronk,
always been smart enough, which, by the way, Peyton Manning never realized. That Peyton, if you take up this much of the Indianapolis Colts salary cap, then you don't have what you need around you.
But if they get rid of Rob Gronkowski, I don't think Brady's going to do them a single favor.
No.
I think that would be I'm not going to take a bargain. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sign an extension so you guys can redo the books. I'm not doing that if you trade Gronk.
That's why this draft is paramount for the future of this franchise. They need a left tackle. They need a right tackle. They need linebackers. They need an edge corner.
I'm okay with a right tackle. They need a left tackle bad.
And that's the protects Brady's blind side.
No, that they do need.
But, I mean, you're talking Jeremy Hill, Adrian Claiborne, Jason McCourty, Danny Shelton, Cordell Patterson, Jordan Matthews. That's not a bad offseason the Patriots have had. But you need more, and you need guys that they couldn't get off the field against Nick freaking Foles, the guy who looks like the love child of Napoleon Dynamite and Chelsea Clinton. I mean, I don't know. Like, they couldn't get off the field.
Mark James is in the house. It's Dale and Keefe. And yes, we have talked a lot of Bruins today. We will work in the Celtics, who play tonight at the Garden. Red Sox are back in action. By the way, Hanley, who's at the ballpark in Toronto, said last night was the first hockey game he's ever seen in his life. There was a great shot of one of his teammates. I think it was Christian Vasquez trying to get him to eat a piece of his ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
And Hanley said, I can't be eating ice cream. I'm going to steal 30 bags.
He's going to steal 30 bags.
So he refused to eat ice cream.
Yeah, he was wearing a sweater last night, right?
That's right. Pliability right there. He's all about TV12.
Bruins are 0-1, though, with Hanley in attendance. So that's
He's not going tomorrow night. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm shocked that Hanley Ramirez, who has been in Boston twice as a player, has never been to a hockey game live.
Said last night was his first one ever.
Wow. That's
20
crazy.
20 players showed up.
That was cool.
At the Air Canada Center.
It was like the whole squad.
There was a lot of pizza eating going on.
Some beer drinking, too. I saw a lot of
Chris Sale was smashing slices. It was great.
Yeah. Chris Sale. I mean, look, he weighs about 74 pounds.
Stickman. That's what's on his jersey last year.
He could have had more pizza. Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
Every once.
It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.